Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me as always, freaking out. Wow. Is producer slash husband slash roommate Norm Sousa. Norm, what do you think of my new greeting?
Yeah, you said everyone.
I said everyone.
Ladies and what did you say normally?
I usually say ladies and gentlemen, but now I'm saying everyone.
Okay.
Let's widen it out.
More inclusive.
Let's make it more inclusive. We don't know if pets are listening. We have no idea if people are leaving this on when they go out so their dog has something. So I'm saying everyone.
Okay. you're including animals. Okay.
Just in case.
That's good. Get Norm. Those numbers up.
Hey, anything for the ratings. That's what we say in the old cast industry. Norm, how you doing today?
I don't know if in TV ratings they count dogs and cats.
I said in the cast, as in podcast.
No, I know what you mean, but...
Norm, how are you? Other than devastated.
Why would I be devastated?
Because of the new intro.
Oh, yeah. I'm thrown off for sure. I'm doing fine. How's the reaction to the stuff we posted on the Patreon going?
Oh yeah. People are loving the Patreon. Mm. I'm getting lots of messages, people reaching out,
right.
And people are excited for the call coming up to discuss it. Cause everybody always for the tier, that there's a monthly Zoom call with me. People like to ask about you and see what you're up to and
right.
follow up. And whenever there's a monthly check-in, it always creates a lot more to discuss.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the Patreon, and I'm going to say this, and I talk about it with my guest today.
Who's your guest?
You can't stand letting me say it at the end. You can't stand it. I'm not telling you.
Okay, okay.
What I discuss with my guest, Chris, is...
wow.
...is about the $1,000 tier... In which
right.
I fly someone a one-way ticket to Los Angeles.
They have to find their own way home.
And they have to find their own way home. And here's the thing that I didn't realize. It could be international. I could be losing serious money on this.
Yeah, sure. If you have a dog that listens in whatever country, we'll have to fly them
Oh
in.
My God, Norm. Exactly.
Yeah, no dogs or cats subscribe to the Patreon yet.
Not yet. Or not with that attitude if you keep this up. Yeah, so we do get into it, and
yeah.
It's something I'm going to have to rethink.
I think it's perfect the way it is. Flawed.
We'll leave it.
With logic problems.
Sounds just like me. but you're doing okay?
I'm doing fine, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, work slowing down, winding down. NFC Championship coming up.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
about it. We've been watching a lot of football. Very exciting games.
Great
very
games.
Weird games.
Yeah.
Wild games.
Yeah, last minute stuff. Very fun.
I got to say, in dating you, I've really, as we know, gotten into sports. But I can genuinely say... I know things myself now, like as a fan. Like
right.
I feel like I know news or I know who you're talking about and what
news.
They do. Yeah, sport news.
Yeah, I know news.
Yeah. Yeah, sport news. But I know the news.
Sport news.
Yes. One of it, of course.
We should have a segment on the show called Sport News.
Yeah, and I can run it.
Check in with
no
Alana
problem.
With the sport news.
Well, I can tell you this. Teams are upset. They're not making it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's news for you.
That's the sports news for you.
Yeah, and I can use my tag of that's news for you. Remember we did that like so long ago?
Yeah.
I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
Wowee. This is going to be good moving forward.
I don't know if it is.
But you're doing okay. Yeah, it's winding down.
Yeah, you did also last weekend, like this past weekend, the divisional round playoffs mm-hmm. were like it's hard to get, all the games were fun.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah.
We had a really good time.
We
I enjoyed
really
it and... You know, that wasn't always the case.
Sometimes
at the beginning,
boring.
It was, yeah. And at the beginning, like when we first started dating and you were having to watch more football, I found it to be quite boring.
Yeah.
And now that I know
you can
the
do
drama,
other stuff and then there's drama.
When I know the drama in the backstory, what right. makes them enemies? Why are they friends? And they're on opposite teams. You know, when I know these things, it makes it more enjoyable for me. It's
and you like brothers.
Well, I love brothers in any league. Oh my God. Or sisters. I love siblings.
Yeah.
I love it.
Right.
It's why I love that movie.
King
Richard.
Oh, my
God. What was it called? No, Warrior.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And King Richard, but Warrior because they were fighting and what have you. Yep. You know, King Richard, a little more hands-off in terms of tennis. I don't know if you know how that plays. We can cover it in sport news.
Yeah, we'll cover it next week in sport news.
That's news for you. Shall we get to it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it. You guys, very fun new friend that I've met recently.
Chris,
through Bestelling, we met. And he's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. We really got on and very quickly, and we really get into it. And I just want to say, Chris, if you're listening, I truly appreciate you just hopping right into what this podcast is all about. Because sometimes it's like pulling teeth to get the goss out of people.
Yep.
Like the football gossip out of you. That took ages.
Dogs and cats don't want to hear it.
Well, that's what we're saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone, please help me welcome Chris Eddins right after this break.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Chris.
Love it. Look at that.
Finally, welcome to the podcast after what some people are calling the plumbing disaster of 2022.
Oh, how many people are calling you that? Because I would like to know.
So far, me.
Okay, all right. So just I one said so. Particular person, not
I,
some.
I said some. Like, but it could be others haven't come forward yet. Like, I don't know.
Okay, all right. I can't wait for the reveals. Some. I can't wait for the reveals later down the road to be like, you know, I thought it was an okay thing. I don't know if I would use the word disaster.
Well, the thing is, some of the fans might write in and we'll see. We could be getting a different story. That's all I'm saying. Okay. They're going to write in and they're going to be pissed.
Looking
Chris,
forward to it.
This is how we like to start the podcast, which I'm so excited to have you on because we don't know each other well. So this is a fun get to know you.
Exactly.
And what a perfect way to do it, but publicly for all to enjoy.
Like true people in entertainment. Why else would I exist other than to fucking be open and express myself only when it's being recorded?
You see, this is why I already love you. You get it. You understand me.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
We like to start with a self-esteem party check-in. So, on a scale of 1 to 10... in terms of your own self-esteem, self-love, what have you, how are you feeling? Could be today, recently, last little bit, if you had to give it a number.
I'm about like a 9 right now.
Honestly. Oh my God, yeah. Chris.
Chilling. Yeah.
You're cool. Chilling.
Yeah.
Okay, can I ask where the 9 is coming from? Like what makes a 9 for you?
Just really fucking with myself and where I'm at. Life's been not easy all the time, but right now it's pretty fucking good. You know, work is popping. Beth is fine. My dog is chilling. I got computers. Like, I got my video games. I got a crib. I'm living life. Like, I don't really have a reason to complain. I'm going to therapy. My mind right. Like, we chilling. I'm injured. That sucks. That's why it's not a 10. But, you know, I can walk now.
So. Your knee, right?
Yes.
Yes. Beth had mentioned this to me. Beth, friend of the podcast, might I add, how we met. And we met in person for 2 seconds.
Yes.
Backstage, like 2 seconds. But I feel we truly met over FaceTime. And I'm going to tell you, in a call, which, by the way, was not placed to me. Just so everybody knows, no one called me on a FaceTime. I insinuated myself into Beth's FaceTime that you happened to be on the other end of.
That is correct. And, you know, I was just letting you live your truth. Beth said, you know, you're a big improv person, so I know how y'all minds be. So I was just like, all right, you know, I'm just going to yes and this. Just keep it going.
To the point of our zip zap zop tattoos. You want in?
You posers. No. I don't want that. What do you mean? Get the fuck out of here. I saw that and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, you got zip zap zops out here? Fuck off.
Oh my God, Chris. I've already lost you. I barely had you. This is the most short-lived friendship of my life.
No, friendships, you got to be able to keep it funky. You got to keep it 100. So this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship right here. But yeah, no. Beth is always, no, she's a stand-up. You're the only one who's got the credit to do the zip.
Thank you. My original suggestion was I get all three and they get pictures of me, but nobody liked that one. So
I can imagine that would be rough to, you know, convince people to do.
Just a gorgeous photo of me looking so good. I wish. I'd have to take the picture first, and that's next to impossible.
Would you play a Steve-O and, like, tattoo a beautiful portrait of yourself on you? Is that what you're saying?
No, I wanted them to put a tattoo of me on them.
Okay.
And I get all of Zip Zap Zop.
Got it. And then in return, this is even more not fair. Okay, so they have a whole face portrait tattooed on themselves of you, and yes. You just get Zip Zap Zop on yourself.
Yeah, Chris.
Not their faces.
Like. Obviously not their faces. You might have been coming in at a 9, but with this tattoo opportunity, you're going to leave here at a 10. Let me just tell you.
I am going to leave it at a 10 because I'm not going to do that. And then it's going to make me even better.
And you're going to be like, I make good decisions.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm keeping the trend going.
I knew it. I knew I was going to get flack from you. I totally knew. And you know what else? This is what was suspicious, is that Beth and Mo never got back to me about their, like, significant other's responses to the tattoo. Because yeah. Norm was like, cool. But, like, was like, you're a loser. Like, for sure thinks I'm a huge loser.
Your truth is your truth, man. That's what was my take on it. Not all tattoos are supposed to be a big deal anyway. I got a hell of them.
I agree. Oh, what's your favorite tattoo and your least favorite tattoo? I have 7. I'll play 2. So your most favorite okay. And your least favorite. All
right. My most favorite is probably my first one, just because I got it with my mom's and my sister, one of my sisters. The other one punked out. I have twin sisters, but one got the tattoo and the other one punked out. And my mom and one of the sisters got the tattoo. And so that is probably my favorite one, because that also was the start of me getting tattoos. And because I got it with my mom, it also made a loophole of, like, you started this, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Like every tattoo I get is like, I mean, I got my first one with you. It's kind of on you, dog. Take responsibility.
You started it. What a beautiful way to commemorate that moment with your mother.
Exactly. I was been through wonderful humor. But, and then my least favorite is this one on this arm.
Okay.
It's a Peter Pan from my favorite book, which is called Child Thief. It's by this author named Bron, and it's just a retelling of Peter Pan. It's like more dark. And I was like, okay. I went into the shop. It was a skateboard shop. I was like, all right, you do old-fashioned. I want like an old-fashioned pirate version of this character. And he was like, all right, bet. And when we were coming up with the stencils, the idea were jiggy. It worked. It made sense. But then it did not translate to the tattoo, because one, there's a typing error in it, and he fucking spelled weird wrong, and so we had to go back in and fix it. So that's one problem. And
oh my then god!
He fucked up the face, so it just looks like a young twink is just on my arm, and it's like, what are we doing?
He looks beautiful. He looks beautiful. Whoever this man is, he's gorgeous.
Yeah, I was like, okay, dude. I was like, you didn't stick the landing here, but you know. That's just the part of getting tattoos. You just got to live with it.
I have a couple things to unpack about that. First of all, that you have twin sisters. I cannot believe one of them punked out, because first of all, a betrayal to you and your mom. Fine.
I agree.
Whatever. You're just some brother and she's just some mom.
Uh-huh.
But the twin sister, it's like you never betray your twin. I'm not a twin, but I know this of twins. Everyone knows that about twins. It's like, you do not betray your twin. So I'm shocked that she didn't get it and her sister did. Like, isn't that the whole thing, is that you guys want to do everything and be the same or whatever?
I mean, they're not identical twins. They're fraternal twins, so no. Because also they like, one's 6 feet tall and the other one is like 5'3". So
this is my dream. Oh my god. Like the movie Twins. This is my dream.
So, I mean, I guess maybe that's a part of why she punked out.
Wait, which one got it? 5'3" or 6?
The 6-foot one got it.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked, because when you're short, you have a lot to prove in this life, and sometimes tattoos is the only way to do it. Well, actually, maybe that was her proving it by not doing it.
I think that's her stance. That's what she would argue. she would like to argue that point.
Listen, Chris, I know we don't know each other well, and I certainly don't know your family, but we got to get this sister on the podcast. We got to find out what's going on here. You got to ring her up now, because we got to find out what's going on behind this story.
She would do the podcast. I think you would want that whole episode, though, because that would be entertaining.
Oh, my God. Would that be crazy if you messaged her and were like, listen, there's this girl I know from FaceTime, and she was wondering, do you want to do her podcast and talk about how you betrayed our sister? You think she'd be like, yes, no questions asked?
Well, it's probably 8:17 right now, back in Michigan. So if she does pick up the phone, she'll be a little blindsided. So she might just like, by just shock, go, maybe? But her whole personality, I don't think that's going to happen. I think
that's how I, like, that's hey, how I got my husband to marry this? Me.
Just blindside?
Blindside him. That's how you got to do it. That's how you get whatever you want in life.
Smart move. A lot of people feel that way.
Okay, you're from... Yes, Detroit. You just said you're from Detroit. Okay, did you... correct me if I'm wrong. Did you play sports in school? And isn't that like... Isn't Michigan a big sport state, school? I don't know much. I'm from Canada, but I know Michigan, and people talked about Michigan. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are pretty close. Like, Windsor is basically an extension of Detroit, so.
Yeah, and if you want to drink when you're 19, come on up. We'd love to have you.
That's a fact. It happened all
the
time.
Did you come? Did you do that? Come before 21?
No, I didn't drink until I was 22, so no, that wasn't my move. I went all the time because my dad had girlfriends in fucking Windsor,
and we have to go, like,
hang out with them sometimes.
Couple of Canadian gal pals up in there. Okay,
he got a couple.
Were they nice? Give us this, please.
Fine ladies. One was a nice lady. Her name was Maggie. She smoked way too much, and she had like that voice. Like one, she
heart.
Was she was like Middle Eastern, and she smoked. So it was like in this area.
I mean, that's where I get my deep voice is most certainly from my mom, my huskier voice, and she's from Damascus, and she sounds the exact same as all of her cousins, and everyone sounds the, we all sound the exact same, all of us too. Nice and deep.
How do you deal with that at holidays? It's just like, names have to be said. This is Lana speaking. Like, do you have to announce yourself if everybody has the same voice?
Yes, I have to do it. Well, here's the thing. For me, you know, being the only blonde-haired, blue-eyed one, everyone can pretty quickly pick out it's me. Yes, you must identify yourself. On the phone, when people would call the house phone, like, you know, before cell phones or whatever growing up, it was like people would just start talking to me in Arabic because thinking it was my mom because we sound that much alike on the phone. Okay. And here's the thing. Later in life, I learned some Arabic, and let's just say they were trash talking me. No, I'm just kidding. That's all I learned is who's trash talking me and who's not.
I just learned curse words. I just learned shade. Whenever shade was being spoken, that's what
when I am
know.
Being when I am disrespected in any language, I will know it. Okay.
So, you speak Arabic? Nah, but I understand insults. Perfect.
But I know for a fact you just called me overweight. I know you did. So say what you want, my man. That's fine by me.
That's a useful talent, man. You need to know that.
Okay, wait. What brought you to LA?
As soon as I graduated from Michigan, I moved out here for an internship. So I went to Michigan for sports and then stopped. Graduate, got some internships, did a real college student life, like did study abroad and all that shit my last year. I was like behind 20 something credits or something crazy, so I was just pounding through school like fucking 12 courses a fucking semester and shit.
Holy shit.
And through those classes and just like the relationships with my teachers, I got some internships out here, moved out here as soon as I graduated with an internship on a dick house. It's the Jackass Guys production company. And whenever I told people that when I was moving, they said, excuse me? And I was like, no, not to do porn. Well, it's an actual business. It's a business that works and operates on TV. And they're like, okay.
I was about to say, I don't blame them. When you drop the name, it sounds dramatic. I don't blame them.
It's very valid. Very valid. But no, it was legit. And then from there, just had every assistant job you could have. Yada yada yada. Fast forward, now I write And yeah, that's my LA journey of the shortest version possible.
you're being really casual about it to the fast forward and now I write, because I'm going to say apologies to any listeners that relate. You know, a lot of people can live here their whole life and never get that fast forward, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're like, anyways, now I'm a writer and I get paid to do what I love. It's like, okay, stop.
Again, that's back to the 9, man. That's back to the 9. It's not a 10 because I always constantly downplay. You know,
you downplay. Like, you're downplaying.
I'm working on that, okay?
Because that's like a huge deal. Especially, well, just because you said coming from sports, which is like a very different world. Like, I don't know, No, you wouldn't know Norm because he didn't come with me that night to the Largo. But whatever. My husband works for Fox Sports and writes like comedy pieces and stuff like that for NFL. And I know that sports world is just so different. It is. Yeah. Like, so to come from sports and then be like, oh, turns out I was funny the whole time. Everyone's like, excuse me? Like, it's not common. That's what I'll say. It's just not common for a down. Like, yeah, you're downplaying it because I have not heard that story before as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I was just talking to my friend about this the other day. He used to play basketball all the way up to the NBA, then played like overseas and shit. And he now is a journalist as well as a artist, like he paints. And it's just funny that our particular stories are very similar in that why we are successful at our creative jobs is because of sports, and also why sports was fucking whack for us is because we are very creative people, and that's not the stereotype. And it just... they clash in many ways, but it's also why I got to do the fast forward to I'm doing what I want to do. Like, I just had a different mentality towards making this work. Like us, like heads down and just bulldoze through. I get to work with my best friend. She's my writing partner. And
okay, we don't work together, so I'm not really sure what that is in reference to. I've never worked with you, so I can't imagine who you're talking about.
Well, this one I've known since high school. This is
your oldest friend. Yeah, oldest friend. Okay,
yeah, one of them. Yes.
So can I ask if sports lent a hand to that discipline and that drive?
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's what it's, you know. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I almost said rehearsals, but I meant to say practice. I'm such a loser.
Wow.
My self-esteem's at a zero. I'm not a zero.
Bro, Jesus Christ.
And I dropped out of school. I dropped out of college. I don't even have like formal training. And like still, I couldn't say practice.
That's so funny. No, it's double funny because that feeling is... film school in Michigan was so clicky. Like, I know I'm rocking a shirt, but like, they did not fuck with me because, like, oh, you're a fucking jock. Like, nah. Like, the energy was very there in class. Like, I was trying to contribute to shit, and people were like, nah, bro. And I was like, okay, man, whatever it is, like, it is what it is. But, yeah, that's funny. They're just very different worlds. But, almost to a negative, a lot of my drive is from sports because it's focused on, it doesn't really matter, like, if you're uncomfortable or if things are rough, you just got to put your head down and fucking get it done. And, any creative path that is 90% of it is very rough. And like working on PA salaries where you definitely can't do that shit, especially in fucking California. But yeah, I put my head down and fucking figured a way out. And yeah, so now I'm here now.
I mean, it's definitely a good trait to pick up from having been in sports, like the discipline and everything like that. This would be my question. Mm-hmm. Does it make you hard on yourself? Maybe a little more, because I know in sports, it's so competitive. So is our industry, but sports is very, I think it's a lot more in front of your face competitive because we're literally watching people shove each other or do this or do that. Whereas, like, I think in our industry, we're more behind the scenes competitive of like, she got that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. So it's a combo. Like, this again, why I'm at a 9, because I was at a very not 9. I was about like a 4, because like I am very hard on myself because of that. And then working in a field as crazy as this just lends to real crazy psychological problems if you don't fucking check that shit and figure it out, which I am just now learning, because it's not always good to just, it's never good enough. You have to at least stop and appreciate and respect what you do fucking accomplish. Because, like, I just come from the mindset of, all right, the next step is this. And if you do that, you'll be next stepping until you did. And then it's like, all right, but you didn't enjoy any of the work. Like, why'd you work so hard if you don't enjoy any of it?
And no, I love
but
that.
On the other end, it, like you said, the in your face in this industry is very I'm the antithesis of that. Like, if I don't fuck with you, I'm gonna tell you I don't fuck with you and why I don't fuck with you. And like, I'm not gonna like kitty cat it behind your back and tell 5 people. I'll just be like, hey, I think what you said is bullshit and it's fucking irritating, which is also helpful in a writing room where people are just like, you just gotta say it. Like, fuck it.
Like, just it's do no it. It's no judgment, and not saying it, like in the writers' rooms that I've worked in, ultimately screws you over, because the next thing you know, then one of 2 things is happening. Either A, you're working on the shitty idea that you didn't nix. Exactly. So now you have to execute it.
Exactly.
Or B, even worse, you don't have a hand in it and you're watching this terrible thing happen that you can't even save because you didn't speak up when it was time to speak up. And that's not, I'm not saying everything's terrible if we don't say something about it, but that's just an example.
And in many contexts, if you were to say that sentence, whatever you're not saying it about, it is terrible. So like, I think you can get away with saying that. You should switch the context. You need to say something all the time. You should say something. That's gonna be my takeaway for this episode.
Listen, it's airport rules. See something, say something.
You have to. You have to. Come on, man. You don't want that responsibility on your hands.
That's one of the things when Mo and I, when we went to Dallas Fort Worth with Beth, in one of the shows, we started it by saying, guys, if you guys think you could do better, come on up here. We'd love to have you.
Is that, we were is that inviting what you people told to the come. Old lady with the neck brace?
Chris, I haven't. Okay, I didn't get into the full details of the tour for everybody. I kind of just kept it pretty blanket statement. But the first night, everyone, when we come out, and it's a, you guys listen to the podcast, Chris, from the 3 FaceTimes we talked a lot. From the 3 FaceTimes,
I was about to say, come on now.
Yeah, we there was 2 in 1. Anyways, whatever. We don't need to get into all the FaceTimes. But the bottom line is I was there for all of them. So, yes. Whatever. I do a pretty rude, spicy show. There's a lot of sex talk and this and that. It's very positive. It's fun. But it's a lot of very true, vulgar stories. But they're true. So it's like, that's endearing. That's like the whole point of the show, is that you're like, oh my God, there's no way. But you know, I'm secretly telling the truth for real. Yeah. So whatever. I come out, and right in the front row, just to the left, is a woman who, first of all, is aggressively old. I don't know any other way to describe
it. What's the number for aggressively old? How old are you at aggressively old, or is it just
she
optics?
Here's the problem. It's aggressively old because she had to be, honestly, and I will be shocked if she was like below 80, which is like 80 is not necessarily aggressively old.
Wow.
But here's the aggression. The neck brace. She has the audacity to show up old and injured to my show and puts herself in a very unsafe environment as I am trying to talk to everyone in the audience that I can get my grubby little hands on. I'm referencing her in the middle of sexy songs, and I was like, and I couldn't stop looking at her because she was there. Apparently, I was like, I bombed that night. There was too many old people. I totally bombed. And a girl in the audience, like, that we talked to afterwards.
Old people can't come to your show. Okay.
She told me that the woman was laughing at points of the show. The neck brace woman. She was like, I saw her laughing. And I was like, are we sure someone beside her didn't quietly say something like, I hope this young witch burns in hell or something to get her going? Because it wasn't coming from me.
Look. Look, if she's that aggressively old, maybe she just was incapable of like laughing in a way that you would see because she had a whole neck brace on. But she was like, back in my day, I would be saying shit like this. So I fuck with
it. It could have been more of a neck laugh.
Yeah, it's just locked in place. She's just like,
just so everyone knows, Chris and I are both strangling ourselves right now as we talk. We both have our hands around our necks for no reason. Absolutely no reason.
How else does one symbolize a neck brace on a podcast?
Than by strangling yourself. There's no other way to do it. Oh my God. Dude, I wish you'd been there, Chris. You'd have loved it. And poor Beth. What a mess of a show I gave her. Poor Beth. I tell you what, a lot of work for her to do. And bless her for doing it. Somebody's got to. Somebody had to stand up.
Someone does. You know, again, somebody had to see something and then say something. So it worked out perfectly.
And the airport rules stand. Here we go. Which, by the way, if you ever fly with Beth, get ready. She passes right on out of there. I tell you what.
So do I. It works. It works.
You're asleep. Oh, my God. I can't do it. I'm like, is the landing gear in check? Or is the pilot trying to talk to me? I can't. Oh, I have to be hyper aware of what's happening. It really sucks. Yeah. It really sucks. When I flew back from Vietnam, it was 24 hours of travel. I stayed awake the whole time. I watched 7 movies back to back.
Couldn't be me.
And I hope not.
I like to time travel when I'm on a flight. So, like, I try to get an early flight, don't go to sleep the night before, and then I hit that boy. First of all, I'm dressed up like a straight hazmat situation. I had masks before masks were cool. I have fucking the goggle things. I got a hoodie on. I got fucking overalls or some type of onesie that goes down into my boots. I got fucking gloves. I'm doing this. I'm putting the glasses down and leave me the fuck alone, and I'm asleep and I'm teleporting. The next thing I know, I'm where I need to be at. Like, the plane is landing. I get motion sickness, so like as it lands, I always wake up. But I'm out. I'm out like a light, and then I come to wherever we're at. Every single time. I was in Israel. The flight to Israel knocked out quickly.
I'm finding this impossible to believe. Is that not a long flight?
Yeah, it's like 13 hours, but it's a miserable experience for me if I don't sleep. Like, I was stuck between two people, like, also two short people, but I mean, it's a free
You were trip. In a middle seat?
About it, huh?
You were in a middle seat in between two people?
Ooh. Yes, yes. Oh, but
that's a long flight.
Knocked the fuck out. I woke up only to go to the bathroom, went back to the sleep seat, fell asleep again, and woke up and was across the fucking world. I think it's a superpower. I love it. It's the best thing ever.
I love your attitude. Next thing you know, I'm across the fucking world.
Damn, so cash. It's a dub. It's a fucking dub.
Okay. You said earlier at the beginning of the episode of why you were feeling a 9 is because you said you were started going to therapy. Are you enjoying it?
I mean, yeah. So I was very anti-therapy for a very long time because I wanted to do that. That was my other job. It was like, I just like how brains work. I was
like, oh my God.
Psychologist or a therapist, and was like, studied it a lot. And in studying it a lot, you just build up a bunch of defense mechanisms. Like, you just become better at lying to yourself. And then also, just as a black dude, a lot of therapists are fucking whack, bro. Like you go to them and it's like, all right, here's why I'm fucking stressed. And they're like, well, fucking, did you kiss my ass, bro? And so then I just happened to find somebody that works. I went to one with Beth, and she was very helpful for like childhood stuff. And but it's more of an in-person therapy, but she's also very far. So I don't do that one as much. That's like an every month type situation. And then I have this black dude that I do like twice a week. Twice a month, not twice a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fucked up. I'm not twice a week. That's expensive.
it wasn't your mental health I was worried about. It was 100% the bank account. I was like, twice a week? What's this guy do for a living? I've been in therapy my whole life. I love it, but I'm going to say I agree with you. If you don't have the right person, it is like hell on earth. Yeah. It is like, because then you're just paying someone to tell you everything that's wrong about you without hearing you or listening, or, and I don't mean trying to understand, just trying to see what it's like for me. You don't have to relate to me. You shouldn't, because you shouldn't be talking about yourself like them. They shouldn't be like, the same thing happened to me. Like, I once had a therapist that was too personal and told me too many things. And I was like, lady, do you have your shit together? Because you just said you had the same problem as me and I'm paying you $120 right now.
That's not what I want to hear when I'm giving you money. Quite fucking frightening, actually. But again, that happens so fucking much. The showrunner of our room was talking about his therapist. Is like, I'm not sure if my therapist is good or, like, just very, 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 very bad. Like maybe it's like, maybe it's like a Tai Chi thing, and she's like making me not see the thing while it's happening. And I was like, nah, this ain't Mr. Miyagi situation, bro. That sounds like a bad person, bad at their job. But I also don't. I need an active therapist, but also, like you said, to be saying shit that's straightforward. I don't open up like that because my mom is not, that's not how she showed us to grow up. Like, mm-hmm. I'm also working on that part, but like, I don't need to just talk to just talk, like just talking about my feelings. Like, I need to talk with a task. Like, I need to, if I'm coming to you with something, I need you to analyze it in a way that maybe I can't analyze it, that I'm incapable of doing it. Let's talk that shit out. And then once I run out of things, we good. I don't just need to sit here and pontificate, nigga. Like, I'm gonna get my money's worth for this hour, but I need it to be active. I can't just be in there and she's like, well, how are you feeling? Fine.
I write stuff down. Yeah, I write stuff down that I'm like, oh, don't forget to bring this up. Like, a topic. And I stopped seeing my last therapist because I ran out of stuff to say. I was just like, everything's good. And that was it. And then she kind of was like, well, what about this? And I'm like, no, it's fine.
Honestly, I think that should be the objective, and that is also why I fuck with my therapist. He was like, the goal of this is for you to not come back. he's like
thank you.
He's like, just like, figure it out. Once you get back on the board, you straight, and then if you ever fall off the board, hit me up.
It doesn't have to be forever. Like, I just signed up to start with a new, I wrote you when we had to reschedule because the plumbing disaster. But before, when we had, maybe we were going to do that day, I was like, oh, I don't want to do it because I'm meeting with a new therapist and I don't know what
feeling. Where did you go with it? How did it go?
Here's the thing. It didn't happen because of another house drama that took place. And I had to cancel on her. And I never met her. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a bad... And even canceling on you, like, this is not... And I know people say that. It's not me. I'm very good at scheduling. I know how to follow through on things. You see, I text a million confirmations. Yeah. Like, but I had to cancel on her because of another flooring disaster. Can I move?
Is this your home or are you renting this place?
I'm renting. If this was my home...
Fucking up your bag. I was about to say.
I'm renting. So it's out of my hands. You know what I mean? It's whatever they're doing. It's like I have to go along with it, but it keeps interrupting everything I'm trying to schedule. And I should actually charge them because I did have to pay for that, which of course I did, as I should. And I should charge them to be like, you made me miss this appointment.
I would.
But I haven't gone to meet her yet. I haven't met her yet, but I'm really excited to because I'm at a place where I think I know I need therapy right now. But I left my last therapist because things were okay. And it's like, I wanted to say, I'm really proud of you for so much later in life being like, you know what? I'm going to sort a couple things out. Because sometimes I feel like people just adopt this. I'm stuck in my ways or I've made it this far. But I'm like, yeah, but imagine if someone was like, oh, you could have made it this far easier. Then I'd be like, okay.
Child, don't get me started.
Well, if you came so late in life, it must have been tough.
It was, but I also already had the groundwork. I was just so set in, like, being like, nah, I'm straight because of XYZ. Because, again, wanted to do it, so you just got good at lying to yourself. But also what really threw it in my face was a bunch of shit going bad in my life, and then talking to my parents and being like, You motherfuckers, I'm just saying what you stupid motherfuckers are saying. I don't like to say, this isn't my viewpoint on this. Like, I have a black mother and father, born in their, like, 60-something. So trying to tell them that, like, therapy makes sense is like trying to tell a fucking lion that, you know what, it would be tight to give up your food and, like, just tell the buffalo that he looked nice today. It's like, but what? That's not how shit goes down. That's not how it works. It's like, we don't do that. Like, I told my mom, I was like, you know, therapy is tight. You should definitely work on it because you're having a lot of fights with your children for no reason. And she was like, I don't need fucking therapy. I know my problems. I was like, well, that's the greatest sentence ever said by anybody who needs therapy. And I
was like literally the poster child of needing therapy is, I know my problems. Well, you know they can be solved, right? Yeah. And I was, or kind of worked on, at least.
Or just... Yeah, I again learned this where I was like, okay, well then what are they? And like, and then from that, I was like, okay, you see how you just keep adding things, and it's just helped me deal with those interactions, therefore helping me like analyze myself in ways that are more helpful and like step back and chill out. Because I've always been like a Zen type dude of like, it is what it is, bro. Like, I know that's a toxic thing to be saying right now, like, because it's just been co-opted, but. A lot of life is that, and I've just had to live that way because if I stopped, it would just overwhelm me. So I was like, it is what it is, and just kept it moving. But yeah. That just hurts you in a multitude of ways. And so, yeah, I tried to tell my mom the greatest, how I think about it at least, and she likes to work out a lot too. It's one of the things of like, you know how to work out. You've been lifting your whole life. But a trainer is supposed to lift muscles that you don't think about lifting so that you can lift better and be stronger, right?
Like, yeah.
So it's the same concept. I was like, yeah, you know that you want biceps and you know 50 bicep workouts, but what if you learned one little way of rotating your arm that like builds muscles up for like longevity that you never heard about? Like, that's the concept, bro. And then like my dad is another fucking, oh my God. It's like, hey, you should go. It's too late for me. It is what it is. And they both
fall back.
It's like, I got the book. He was like, the boss will help me out. I'm like, what the fuck? Okay, dude. I was like, you can do both. My therapist is a therapist, and he also works for a church and is like a pastor. Like, religion and your brain do not have to do this. I was like, we went to class, and the dean was basically your preacher, your rabbi, your everything, and whatever. He said, I'm here to teach you how to, like, get your spirit right, but I'm not a fucking doctor. Like, if you got a cold, go see the fucking doctor. And yeah. I always bring this up to them. I'm like, that's what he's saying. He's like, your spirit is your spirit, but your body exists here on this plane. And I was like, we are black people in America. If anybody needs therapy, it's us. I was like, that's the greatest lie white people have ever done, is make us think that we don't need therapy. Do you know what inherent trauma is, motherfucker? Like, you need it. Like, I was trying to write a story, and it was basically that. It was like compound trauma making you make bad decisions. And I asked both my parents, I was like, how were your parents and your childhood? And the things these motherfuckers told me, I was like, you don't think you need therapy?
Oh my God, no! Oh my God.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? What? What?
If it makes you feel any better, it's the same with my mom. She's like, because, you know, my mom's Arabic. It's a whole thing as well. And it's like, but my mom's lying about it. Like, she needs grief counseling. We all do. My whole family does. And she's like, yeah, I'm going. And I go, oh, yeah, what's their name? Like, oh, yeah, what's the name? Yeah. Who are you going to see? And it's just like this brushing aside. And also, like, it's a generational thing. And I don't know if it's a pride thing where it's like, I'm the parent. I know what's best. Like, yeah. I'm like, if you didn't have kids, would you still be this way? Or would, like, were we a distraction or an excuse or something like that? Like, sometimes I wonder that too. Sometimes, because my mom uses us as an excuse. She didn't have time for therapy because of us and this and that. And I'm like, but would you have gone anyways? I don't know.
I think that's just a go-to parent move. It's not even a parent move. It's a people move. Like, you want to push off difficult situations. Like, that's just what your brain does because it wants to survive and keep going. So it's easier to find something that you can go to sleep with at night as the justification for why you do the thing, as opposed to analyzing patterns, seeing where it could possibly stem from, addressing that and fixing that so that you stop doing the pattern. Like, it's just, why would I want to do that work? like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I don't want to address those things. I don't want to deal with those things. We had a big old fight at Thanksgiving with my mom because my sister, the one who got the tattoo, she...
6 foot.
Yep. She has a... my nephew. She's going through a divorce right now. And she started going to therapy before she had her son because she was like, I want to get my shit together because I don't want to be passing nothing on to this man.
Yeah.
And I obviously started going. And so... my mom is hearing, she was hearing us saying, hey, I have now recently started working on myself and noticing patterns and addressing them. And I'm telling you about them so that we can fix said patterns so that we can move forward in a healthier way for all everybody involved. But if you hear that from your kids at the one time you hear, see them in a year, you hear it as, you fucked up, you did everything wrong. You're very bad at being a mom. I'm fucked up because you fucked up, and you fucked up, and you're evil, and I hate you, and you fucked up. And I was like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, she had a whole breakdown about it. I was like, that's not it.
It's taken as so accusatory, and you're like, no. I'm saying this so together we can address it. Like, what's your role? What's my role? We all have a role in everything, right? Just some roles are more... dominating than others. Yeah. Some people had more control of a situation, or some people had more of a say in a situation. Like, your parents would have more of a say in a situation than you did growing up, right? But I gotta say, Chris, for someone that's kind of newer to therapy, you are saying the hottest buzzwords in town. Let me tell you, I'm so impressed, like, that you've taken it so quickly. Absorbed all the information and like the ways of processing, and I know obviously it's actively that you're doing the work and this and that, of course, but it's like a lot of people, just because they're in therapy doesn't mean they're embracing it right away or taking it all in right away, and that's fine. To anybody listening, especially if you're new to therapy, go at your own pace. This is not a judgment. It's nothing like that. I'm just saying I'm like very proud of you that to start later in the game, but then be wide open to it right away so you can take in as much of it as possible, because it takes longer sometimes. It takes a bit, well, once you found the right therapist, you said originally not so much, but like, I don't know, it's just not easy. It's not always quick. And it sounds like, at least in terms of the terminology and understanding of it, it sounds like you've really opened yourself up in a really short amount of time, which is like really not easy. Like, I'm nervous to talk to this new woman, and I've been in therapy since I was like 13, in and out for various reasons, but it's like, I'm definitely nervous to talk to her because I'm like, God, I feel like I don't even know where to start. That's so overwhelming. Like, did you know where you were going to start in your very first meeting? Were you like, I'm going to say this, or were you like, let's wait and see what happens?
Well, the very first meeting I've ever had was, my parents got divorced when I was 7. My dad started talking to this lady when I was like 9, 10, somewhere around that area. And she was like, we all have to go to therapy together. And I was already on the defensive about that because I was like, well, fuck you. What the fuck you mean? Like, I don't even fucking know you. Like, the fuck out of my face. And then we had to go to therapy. And the therapist was a very nice lady. She was this nice black lady. We were talking, chopping up. But I also just sat in there like, I felt like Goodwill. Like, I was like, I don't know if you fuck you want from me. Like, she started this. And he just started talking and chopping it up. And I was like, all right, this is fine. But I'm like 9 or 10 or whatever. So that first time, I wasn't really in a loss once I started talking. But I wasn't at a loss to start talking. But also because I was a child, I don't think they I think they realized that more than if you're an adult, to be like, I'm gonna help, I'm gonna guide you through how this is supposed to go, you know what I mean, more so than they would as an adult, where they're like, all right, motherfucker, what you want to talk about? And it's like, you know,
like they're holding your hand a bit more, like, as you're younger, because like, to coax it out of you. But I agree, when you're an adult, you sit down and they go, so what brings you in? Yeah. And you're like, everything.
And that worked for me, though, because where I was at, I knew what I was fucked up about. I was like, these 10 things, I need to figure out where they're coming from. Let's mm-hmm. check off these fucking things. And then in checking off those things, my brain also works in patterns because I'm mad dyslexic. I couldn't read until I was in like the fourth, fifth grade or something like
that. Wow. Somewhere around that area. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
So just in order for me to understand things, all people's brains work in patterns, but mine specifically, for me to understand something, I need to get the pattern of it. Writing, I understand because it goes, you got three acts in your three acts. You got to do three acts again, basically. Da 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 da. Improv, a scene goes here. Da 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 da. That's how I make things work. So in therapy, yeah. I was like, okay, here's the thing. How does it root down? Figure out the root of the thing and work backwards. And then, like in every interaction I have, I try to like implement that thing. It's just like working out or just like sports. You just implement the thing as you go. And why am I going to fight something that I sought out and that I'm paying somebody for? Like, I think that's the crazy part about therapy is people fight the therapist. It's like, well, you went there. Like it's to help you out. Like,
and what did you want? You wanted them to say the same thing as you, so just talk in the mirror for free. Like, yeah. It's crazy.
Talk to a teddy bear.
Push back. Yeah. Talk to a teddy bear. There you go.
We do it. But it's like, it's crazy to me because the equivalent is going to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, I think you tore something. And you go, fuck you, doctor. That's not what fucking happened. And it's like, what? Like,
fuck you.
Dude, like.
Am I the only one that loves Chris at the doctor? Fuck you. So mad right away.
It's like, okay.
I'm assuming this was you being you.
Yeah, I was the doctor. I was the doctor in this scenario, in this kid. I was like, well, okay.
I agree with you.
It's I don't know. It's just why not get the most out of the thing? Again, to the trainer analogy, I'm not getting a trainer and paying for a trainer to tell me what I already fucking know how to do. And I'm not going to not listen to you when I hired you to do it. So I picked the one that I figured could give me what I want. Mm-hmm. You are doing that. You can show me results. So why am I not going to listen to you?
You know, crazy to me. I think this is not the same thing, but in terms of being a straight shooter type thing, this is why I love working with Beth so much because, you know, you can come off stage and there's three things that can happen. One, someone says you bombed. Two, someone says good show and nothing else. And three, someone says good show, but I think we can work on this but I think we can better it. And that's Beth. And that's why I love working with her because I love the person that's like a straight shooter. Like if you had a trainer, I don't need you to tell me you're doing great. I need you to tell me what am I not doing great at so that you can make it great. Exactly. Like it's positive. Oh. It's someone just saying, and this is sports, my God, of course, this is like right up your alley, is that it's someone being like, you're already good. We're already here, right? You're already at a place where you are getting a personal trainer, which means you're showing a lot of self-love and self-care and whatever you have to do to make blank goal. Whatever anybody's goal is, right? It's all different for everyone, I understand. But it's like, it's this idea that it's like, someone's going to tell you how to get that goal exactly, even if it's not exactly what you want to hear or what you guessed or the way that you thought it should be done. Like your mom with the weights. Yeah. Tell her to twist her arms a little like this. And no, I'm just, I don't know. Tell your mom to just twist a couple things.
I was going to see how far you're going.
You want to see all my cool muscle work? Okay.
Complete it. Go ahead. Wow. Gosh.
Just so everyone knows, I'm holding my arm out straight. Pretty much just straight and not much is happening.
See, that's how you chose to go with it. I was going to start gassing you up and be like, guys, you're missing it. Handstand push-ups are going down. It's crazy. It's insane.
But
you
know what?
Now they know I lied. Now they can't trust anything I've said.
Now you're not a 9. You used to be a 9, and now I brought you down to a 2. Look what I've done. I've made a liar out of you.
Disappointed. Disappointed in both of us. Shame. For shame.
Shame to me, for sure.
But as you were saying, coaching, and to the point of what I was getting at earlier, talking to my friend, people are bad at being coached. And like, that's just a good example of that. they take it as offense in the front. Like I, with my mom, and my dad did the same thing. I said my mom just because that had a story with my sisters involved too. But my dad also had the same conversation. Every time we wanted to talk, they were like, I'm sorry, I fucked you up and made you terrible and this, that, and the third. And then whenever they would mention something, they were like, is this why this is happening? Is this why this? And it was like, dude, no. He would say, I would explain what it was, and then he would immediately do the thing right after. I was like, do you not hear that? And I was talking about therapists, and he highlighted, when you have a family dynamic, everybody has a role. And my role has always been, because my parents are divorced, but my sisters are 8 years older than me, they have a different dad, but we've lived together, basically. I've always been, okay, like, I have such crazy forces in my family, I've always been the one that's been like, whatever, dude, like,
Are you the peacekeeper?
The diffuser, more than a peacekeeper, because I'm really not giving you energy either way. Like, if you come at me on I'm like, okay, like, I think you need to chill the fuck out, but all right, dude. Like, and then my parents always chirping and arguing with each other through me. I started rebelling at it in high school. I was like, look, I don't care. I don't care. Stop talking to me about how you feel about them, okay?
Like, I'm with you. I think that's a great idea. Good for you.
It's insane.
Good for you.
And it's just been more cemented. I was like, look, man, y'all fucked up with each other. That has nothing to do with me. You're not going to change how I view my father. You're not going to change how I view my mother. But your relationship was your relationship. Cool. Okie dokie. Get the fuck on. Yeah, y'all both fucked up. All right. I don't care. I don't care. What I care about is me and you having a relationship as my parents. Can we talk about that?
That's it's not important. Like you were dating them. You're not like, you didn't do this to me. I don't want to put words for your parents or whatever, but I know, at least in my experience, there's a bit of narcissism involved where you're like, I'm telling you this thing and you're like, oh, so I'm the worst and I'm this. And you're like, oh my God, I just said a thing, an observation that I learned in therapy or found out myself through working on therapy with the tools I was given. And then someone like turns out and makes it about them. And you're like, I'm not accusing you. I'm not saying it's all you. I'm just saying this is an observation. This is just something. But it's like,
people can't be coached. That's the same thing. That narcissism is your inability to be coached. That's what that is. It's like, I told you that I have problems with romantic relationships and interpersonal relationships, and you took that as you're just looking for something to complain about right now. Like, I was like, what? What are you talking about? I told you very clearly what the problem was, and that I am now working on it. I'm just acknowledging where it stems from, which is watching you all do this shit, and like my apathy towards relationships because, father, I've seen you date people. They're like seasons. Like, they're there for 6 months. So why would I ever give a fuck about talking to them? And so I imitated that. Mother, you constantly tell me how everybody sucks and that you had nobody tight. And your boyfriend, I tried to kill him. So I have never seen a healthy version of something. And you're taking that as, I'm just looking for excuses. I just gave you concrete examples. It's not like, what are you talking about? Like, what are you saying?
That's crazy. That's so frustrating too, when it's like you're just saying the fact of what's in front of everybody's face. You're like, that's all I'm saying. I'm not even saying I feel. I'm literally just stating what has happened or is happening. And they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. And that's how you know you found the right partner. Who can handle you saying any kind of truth to them? Even if it's something, like with Norm and I, even if it's something not necessarily negative, but, you know, this is frustrating me or this is something not so positive, right? Whatever. It's like, I'm not saying you have to agree with it, but like, I need to see that you're at least listening and acknowledge like, okay, I understand that you're feeling that way. Let's talk more about it. Or like, do you have some solutions in mind? Was there something you wanted to try? Like, cause you might already have ideas between you and your therapist. You guys might have come up with stuff, possibly even talking to them was the thing that you came up with. Then it immediately backfires. Now you need a new plan. That's what's happened to me 1,000 times. I don't know if your therapist was like, have you tried bringing this up with them? Or if your therapist is like, it doesn't sound like it's being well received. Like, do you guys make a game plan?
No, it's more of a, I'm not their therapist. Like, you have conversations with them of, I can only tell you my take on things. I'm not saying that it's your take on things or even telling you how to conceptualize or analyze anything that's going on in your life. All I'm telling you is the facts and allude to ways that may make it easier for us to interact. And if you try to pivot that and turn it towards an argument, I just won't give that any energy. I can't do it.
Yes.
But my family also is very good at on-delaying the thing because they are smart and so they'll like do it. And I think that's really the big thing that I've noticed. If resilience and intellect are a dangerous combination because you can just stonewall stuff off or you can always find a parallel. So I think I'm good at improv for a very dark reason. But it's like you can always find a connection to something. Of like, yeah. If I tell you this is what it is, you can always find X, Y, Z. Like my sister is like, I was like, I understand you're upset. A lot of terrible things have happened in our childhoods, both of them. And like you're angry and that stuff is irritating and you're going through heavy stuff right now. But I think that if you and my mother come to a point where you're trying to have a conversation about something, but you both have preconceived notions of how the conversation is going to go, y'all not going to hear anybody. Like, no. you're just yelling to oblivion. Y'all got to go. I told them many times, every time I talked to them, I was like, you know what? Eventually, I'm just going to pay for y'all to have a therapist together because you need to go. Like, it's very important for the two of you. Just for the simple point of, the therapist don't even have to say shit other than mediating the fucking conversation. So it's like, stop talking, let them talk. Did you hear what they were really saying? Like, they need a couples therapist for the two of them because it's just, when you are smart, you can justify anything. Anything can make sense.
Oh my God, being smart is so dangerous. It's why I veer away from it as much as I can.
It's safe.
But it's dangerous.
Hey, there's a reason stupid people are happy, man. You just don't think about shit. Like,
I'm having the time of my life. What are you talking about? I'm at a 10, this whole combo. Who knows what you're saying? I'm having a great time.
Cursed existence.
No, I agree with you with the third party to mediate the conversation. I've had conversations with my mom that blew up. I had the exact same conversation with a therapist present. Smooth as whatever is smooth.
Wow, so you had no smooth things. No smooth.
Whatever. No, well, you know what I was going to say? Whatever is smooth. I was going to say butter, but when butter's hard, it's not smooth. It's just a block and
it's
can't
still smooth.
Do anything with it.
If you were to rub your finger, rub your hand across the butter,
I was thinking more of like a knife, like when you cut it with a knife.
It's okay. still.
You see? Look how happy I am. You see, my being stupid is so great. You explained it to me, and I'm going, this guy's out to lunch. What's he talking about? Chris, I've been just nothing but embarrassed this whole conversation. To say the very least. You and I are going to need therapy now.
You said, what about with a knife? It's still the same thing.
But if it's hard, it doesn't cut through as smooth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The frigid nature of cold butter does not negate the smoothness of butter. Like,
I'm sorry, I'm like crying.
One does not negate the other. Like, both can be true.
I'm joking. Look what you've done. Okay, guys. We're going to make a public statement right now.
Oh, that was funny.
Here's the thing. Is butter smooth? To some.
Honestly, is water wet? Who knows?
Who knows? Thank you, Chris. Who knows? Show me the science. That's all I'm saying. Show me the science.
I can't.
Okay, Chris. Wow. God, time flies when you're me. Chris, you came on this podcast at a 9. On a scale of 1 to 10, how you feeling now? And it's okay whatever the number is. I accept. I have my number. I didn't say mine at the beginning, but I have my number.
So I'm still at a 9. Yeah, my 9 is chilling.
Yeah! We got him!
I'm still locked in at a 9.
Well, because the knee injury, it has not improved over the hour.
It has not, unfortunately.
Okay, fair enough. Well, you're sitting maybe a little bit. Maybe we're a 9.1.
No.
Taking some weight off the old knee. Hello?
No.
I came into this podcast probably I've been a little down lately. So I probably came in, I would say, at a 5. And it was an okay neutral day.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm leaving at least a 7. And here's why. I want everyone to get along with everyone all the time. But man, do I love hearing that other people have struggled as much as I have with therapy and conversations with family. I love it because then I go, oh, Alana, you're not just a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love it. It makes me go, okay, it's not just you. We all have it. It's okay. Yeah. So that makes me feel a lot better.
Glad to help. I think that's important for a lot of people. You're not the only one who feels that way. It's just like, we do strive. I think the most base point of my being smart is a problem is that's human's curse is like semblance of self over-aggrandizes things. And like you think, oh, I'm the only one. It's like, nah, motherfucker, like life is rough inherently. Just by existing, yes. It is difficult. Like if you were a fucking rabbit, you would have things trying to kill you all day long. And so just as us, we think that we're the only ones going through problems. And it's like, nah, bro, literally everybody, literally every single person. And I say this even realizing that straight white men have problems, even them. And
do they? That is small, their problem. Small what you ones. Just described. Yeah, small, what you small. Just described is their problem. I think that's it. You know what? Let's get my dad on the phone. Let's see what he's saying. Okay, we got to get Mike Johnson on here. Let him speak once and for all.
I don't know if you want one above 40. That's a
dude. Oh my God, my dad. Does my dad know I have a podcast? Does he know what a podcast is? Let's leave it at that. Chris, where can we find you, or what would you like us to check out, or is there anything that you want us to know about? And if not, guess what? That's fine too.
That is also fine. I got an improv team, Lemon Pepper Wet. Shout them out. Your shows around LA. My Instagram, the stories be funny, but I don't really post that many things. It's at Dreddins. That is Dreddins. Check out Crapopolis on Fox Animated Sundays whenever that drops. And then during March Madness 2023, Kill Orange Face Bear. And look for my credits and go, hey, I heard that guy has problems with his family. And then you'll realize that everybody else is also the same way on the show.
And when you guys hear that, just say, and I heard an angel helped him. And that's me. Okay, kill me. I'm out of here. Chris, thanks so much.
Wow.
If you guys want to follow the podcast, we're at Self-Esteem Party on Instagram and Twitter. And don't forget to check out our Patreon, where I have so many fun conversations like this with past guests.
You gotta do the Patreon, because honestly, people, give some motherfuckers some money. Start you with your coin.
Give some money. Don't be so rude to have my free podcast. Give some money.
Come
please.
On, man. Free and content.
We have all kinds of content on there. We have all kinds of, we have a tier where I do monthly Zoom calls with people. Like,
child,
I'm making
on.
A documentary. It's a blast. So, guys. We also have a tier for $1,000. I'll buy you a one-way ticket to LA, and we get to have one brief meeting. So check out Patreon.
I have a question about that tier. There's a sunken cost of at least $500, so you're like kind of losing in that tier.
It's for the joke. I can confidently tell you it's for no gain. I'm not going to make any money because they could be flying in from anywhere. I didn't say it had to be America. So it is a joke, and probably one that's going to cost me, especially after me advertising it on this episode. Chris, it's been a slice. Don't hang up.
Believe in yourself.